Good morning. Once again, welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text this morning is taken from the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. The Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 5, in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. This scripture is within a larger passage in the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, beginning in verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. What greater love is there than Christ's love? There being none greater, let us aspire to imitate God in our human relationships, in particular, our most intimate relation, our marriage. Single people, youths, perhaps the presentation of the biblical worldview on marriage will correct some of your misinformed thinking in some of the so-called wisdom of the culture that is out there on the subject. Divorcees, you have been through many things. Your marriage bond has been severed. Blame, guilt, grief, and shame have been the sad result. But take heart in this one thing. Jesus Christ shall never, under any circumstances, sever his ties with you once you are his by belief in faith. Neither shall anyone, yourself included, snatch you out of his hand. And it may be that someday you might remarry in the providence of God. Widows and widowers, may you look back fondly on your lifetime love and find healing and peace through Jesus Christ, the healer and the lover of your soul. Use the wisdom of your experiences, both good and bad, within the context of the scriptures to aid others. Now, in the sermon proper this morning, we shall address the following three points. First, the self-sacrificial love of Christ with a specific address to men. Secondly, the divinely set order in lines of authority within the Godhead, within the home, and within the church. And third, The concept of mutual respect and submission with a specific address to ladies. Our text begins, "Husbands, love your wives." The kind of love that husbands are to exhibit towards their wives is what we call agape love. Agape love is God's love in its purest form. Agape love is defined in the scriptures. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Let these words sink deep into your heart and mind. We sang them. We've read them, and now we've heard them. God's love is the unconditional love which always acts in the best interest of the object of that love, and that is you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Agape love, God's style of love, is unconditional. Though our Creator knows your every imperfection, though he knows us better than we know ourselves, he loves us anyway. Because that is who he is. Because that is what God does. You ever see those Geico commercials which have different people and it analogizes how Geico does insurance in the same way that people do what they do? Well, next time you see one of those commercials, think of the Lord. God loves because this is what he does. This is who he is. Amen. Our text continues. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Men, this is a tall order. But it is an order and not a suggestion. Will you go as far as it takes to please your wife and meet her spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical needs? Remember, Jesus has done so for you. Now, you can't do it perfectly, gentlemen. You are only men. But you will need to sacrifice of your time and of yourself. You have heard the phrase quality time. This is a bit of a myth. It has served as an excuse for many to spend the quantity of their time doing something other than nourishing their relationships with their spouses and children. So I say to you that quantity time is far better than quality time, although both are strongly recommended. Gentlemen, your wife wants you around. She wants your ear. She wants to know that you love her. And sometimes she just wants you to show up.
Praise God.
In her hour of need. So show up for her. And show up for your marriage. Because Christ Jesus always shows up for you.
Amen.
Gentlemen, do you love your wives sacrificially and consistently? If not, there is none who do so perfectly, for such is the selfishness and pride of all men who fall short of the glory of God. Then look at it this way. And I say this not to make you feel a little bit worse, although this will probably be its effect, but to set up our next point. If you don't, 100% of the fault of the failure in your home falls on you. Why? Because there exists divine order and lines of authority within the Godhead, within the marriage, and within the church. The Godhead. All three. Father, Son, and Spirit. Equal. In that all three are full partakers of the Godhead. Indeed, they are one in the truest sense of the word. And yet, God the Holy Spirit does not point to himself, but he points to Jesus Christ, God the Son, saying, in the words of Christ, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of the truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." So the Holy Spirit is sent by the authority of God the Father to point to the authority of God the Son. This doesn't make God the Holy Spirit in any way less divine, but it simply means that he has different responsibilities, or a different role, if you will, with regard to the work of the one triune God. Now, just as the Holy Spirit points us to the Son, when the Son came, he pointed men and women to the Father, saying this, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning this doctrine, whether it is from God, or whether I speak on my own authority." And again, Jesus said, teaching in the temple, "You both know me, and you know where I am from. And I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know." So you see, even within the Holy Trinity, there are differences of functions in roles. This does not mean that any person of the Godhead is in any way superior or inferior innately to any of the others. It simply means that each has his own purposes. Now, within the marriage, the husband is in the place of authority and also greater responsibility. We read it in the opening and it bears rereading. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, As also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now this passage, those three verses, are politically incorrect today. There are those who might call it hate speech or bigoted. Let them take it up with the Lord. As for you, as for I, let the same mind that is in Christ Jesus be in you. You may only be politically correct at the peril of a marriage contrary to God's will on this point. This order is rooted in creation, and it is settled. Now the charge to men is to love your wife sacrificially and selflessly, leading your household spiritually and providing for your household materially. There is much responsibility in this. However, to the degree that you exercise your godly responsibilities is the degree to which your wife is able to fall into line and exercise hers. In other words, men, if you are not doing as the Lord commands, you are impeding your wife, not only yourself, but your wife also, from fulfilling her role within that marriage relationship and in the one flesh relationship as it relates to the community. This does not mean that the husband is greater than the wife or that men are greater than women any more than the passages that we read earlier could possibly mean that the Father is greater than the Son, or that the Spirit is greater than the Son, or any other combination of these. With regard to salvation, both men and women have equal access to the eternal life which God promises through Christ Jesus. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's. And that's a big if. And if that's an if in your mind, settle the matter before you leave this place this morning.
Amen.
Then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Notwithstanding, men and women each have natural gifts, natural roles, and Paul sums it up this way. For Adam was formed first, and then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. By the way, even though Eve was the first one who partook of the fruit, you know who God holds responsible for that? Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 tells us, Adam. One final application on this point regarding the church. In Ephesians 5, the analogy is given. Christ as head of the church, husband as head of the wife. Should not the authority in the church reflect that of what is commanded regarding its people? And so the scripture also says, let a woman learn in silence with all submission, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. This isn't the circumstance of the day. This is the natural order based on creation order and the unchanging creation ordinance. Therefore, and there's much confusion on this point because of the culture, where there ought not to be, the two offices in the church are restricted to what we read in the Greek as one woman, men, elders, and deacons. No pastorettes, no deaconesses. Why? Because to set up lines of authority in the church different than the lines of authority that have been set up within a marriage would send a mixed message to God's people. It's no wonder that God's people are so confused and so many marriages suffer because of it. Finally, the concept of mutual respect and submission. With a special word to ladies. We beat up on the men pretty good. We're equal opportunity offenders here. We let the word of God convict every single one of us, starting at the pulpit. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. Men, step up to the plate. Ladies, encourage your man to step up to the plate and be the spiritual leader that God created him to be. Do not struggle for control. For in doing so, you will only further the satanic plan to destroy your marriage. You've heard of women's liberation. Women's liberation, by the way, is in the Bible. And you know what it says? If the Son has made you free, you are free indeed. What greater liberation can any of us have than that which is conferred by God through the blood of Christ from the power of sin and death? Men, what steps will you take in your home and in your life? Remember, with greater authority comes greater responsibility. Make it your goal to do 100% of the work that needs to be done in making changes in your marriage. Ladies, what can you do to help your husband be a better man of God? Do not any of you try this at home without the help of God. For Jesus Christ himself said, without me, you can do nothing. Pray for your spouse. Pray for the marriages in your family and in your church.
Amen.
Pray for your mom and your dad. Your grandmother, your grandfather. Your aunts and uncles.
Praise God.
Knowing that the day that you fail to pray is the day that you will fall prey to failure. Let's take our own advice. Dear Heavenly Father, we Just thank you for your presence here in this place. We thank you for your truth, the truth of your word, which teaches, encourages, convicts, and corrects. Lord God, there are men here and women here. And when we look at ourselves against the biblical standard, against your Son Jesus, we know that we have fallen short terribly. Lord, we need your help. May you guide us as to how to apply these Bible principles in our marriages and in our lives, starting today, and recognizing how difficult it is for us to put these things into practice. Lord, may you give us a spirit of grace and forgiveness towards our spouses. We thank you for your word. We pray that you bless and uphold the reverence of your communion table, which we will be celebrating shortly after a word from our brother. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.